Please rise and welcome Pastor Jay Patterson.
What a phenomenal young man. Anybody noticing that? Thank you, Lord. Before I speak today, actually, we have a testimony that we'd like to share. So, Val, if you could make your way up here. You know, the activity of God is happening around this place all the time. So we want to keep bringing these testimonies before you so that you can know some things that he's doing here. So, Val.
Good morning. This is a testimony about transforming truths prayer ministry. When I first started on this journey over 4 years ago, the concept of paying attention to the things that triggered me and taking them to the Lord for his truth and light seemed like a great idea, and it is. What I didn't realize was how many things trigger me and how many lies I believe about myself. The good news is that I walk in increasingly more freedom the more time I spend with the Lord examining my stuff. As I am faithful to be open and honest with the Lord, he is faithful to replace my lies with his truth, and he heals the broken places in my heart. My heart is becoming lighter, and my relationship with the Lord is becoming more intimate. Recently, I was really being triggered by a certain situation. I was hurt, angry, and resentful. I didn't understand why this was happening to me. I met with two of our TTPM prayer ministers, and through the questions asked and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I was able to identify a core lie that I'm not good enough. I was willing to offer this belief, which was really a lie, to the Lord for his perspective, and he told me how he sees me, how I am his daughter, and how he has equipped me. Then he showed me a picture of a puddle after the rain. The sun came out as I was watching, and the puddle began to rapidly evaporate. As it evaporated, I felt the hurt and resentment disappearing along with the puddle. After hearing from the Lord, we checked the lie to see if it still felt true that I wasn't good enough. It was no longer true. The anger and the resentment were gone, and that particular situation no longer triggers me. I want you to know that this is not an unusual occurrence in the TTPM ministry sessions. God faithfully shows up, and I have seen time after time where deep pain has been offered to the Lord, and he takes that pain and replaces it with his healing truth. People are being changed and set free by the power of God's love and truth. The heart of Father God is to set us all free to fulfill the destiny that he has for us. The freer we are, the more accurately we can reflect his heart to others. We just need to cooperate in the process. It is really worth the time and effort.
Praise God. God's up to some things today. I don't know if you felt him on your way in this morning, but he is here. And I'm thankful for it. I'm going to switch mics here real quick.
How about now? Yes? Okay. Well, I'm excited about getting to be a piece in the mosaic that the Lord has been painting for you here today. You know, knowing what he's brought this morning, I've had the privilege of watching him bring it up in different people's ministries up here. We sang about things he's doing today in worship, about his heart, reflecting back to him. You heard Zaid come and share what he shared. You just heard Val come and share what she shared. God is stirring the pot today, and I'm very excited about what's going to be coming out of that. Before I get too far into that, though, I would like to take the time to just bring to light that this is the Memorial Day season and we live in a Navy town. If you're not familiar with what Memorial Day was started for, it's for us to remember our fallen men and women that have served in our nation's military. That has touched the heart of this household. If you have lost a loved one in war, in defense of this country, we just want you to know how much we appreciate the service that they gave to this country. Freedom isn't free. It always requires someone to sacrifice. So if that's touched your life personally, just ask that on this weekend, when we remember, the grace of the Holy Spirit would be there with you to bring comfort to you and extend his grace towards you and your family. So blessings on you, and thank you for that sacrifice. The Lord's been wooing us. He's been wooing us to desire more of him. He's been wooing us to expect more than what we've been experiencing. I know he's been doing that to me personally, and it's been jumping up in my face, really, the past couple of weeks. Last week in worship, he really, really brought it to stark light for me. I don't know about you, but this for me personally, it took me a while to get into worship this last week. Not today, but last week. And then right towards the end of the service, if you're here, you may remember that things began to crescendo. It's like something punched through. And what was there behind this crust of whatever it is that we're carrying around with us was this well of expectancy and desire to be in the presence of the Lord. And it just burst out. It was like an oil well, and they dig and they find the black gold shooting right up. And it felt like the Lord was showing me that there's so much that's sitting there is waiting to be explored. There's so much expectancy for him and a desire for power in our lives that we've not seen for a good while or ever. It's sitting there right below the surface. And I believe he's wanting to stir that up and release it. But we need the Lord to open it up. Do you remember the word that came last week about the flame? Anybody here last week? There's a word that came forward about a flame, that you've been carrying a flame, and it's not grown into that full conflagration yet. And every effort you've tried to make something happen with that, it's not worked, but you've stewarded that thing. And God said, I'm going to be the one that fans that. I'm going to be the one that feeds that. He's pointing to things that he's getting ready to do in our lives, and they're unique to each of us. So Pastor, last week, spoke about faith and works. Do you guys remember that? He went into James 2:26, said, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." See, faith and works are inextricably linked. Faith without substance is just words and ideas. There has to be something there that proves that thing. And you have to rely on God to do it, but you have to take that step. He uses a line that really, really touched me. And Pastor, thank you for this, because it really blessed me. He said, "Faith is an outward demonstration of the treasure he has placed in you." Because out of your heart, the treasure of your heart is what you bring forward. Luke says in 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man brings out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks." So, the things that are in our heart come out in the actions that we take. And faith requires action. The hard part is that most of us are living far below the potential that God has for us. Far below the potential. And we don't even realize it a lot of times. Sometimes we do. Sometimes you'll see some activity of the Lord and you realize, I'm not living at that level. What's going on? If you've ever been at that level, you recognize the delta from where you are currently. And if you've never been there, you think, that is way beyond anything that I could even hope to experience. That's for that one guy over there, or for that one lady over there. God's done that for them, but this is my status quo, is down here. But we were made to live at a much higher potential full of power. We were meant to be filled with power. We were meant to be powerful, not powerless. But sadly, the normal Christian life that we tend to experience is a very low power life. It's doing nice things, keeping your nose clean, staying out of trouble. But God is there risking things. And he is the one that provides power to do the risks that he's given you to take. Okay, I just have to step aside for a second. I have been so excited by what the Lord is doing in the world. And recently, he just cracked through my shell. I've experienced his power in my life before, but he's been showing me things that he's doing in other places in this world that are not happening in my life, and it makes me desire more and more of him. I'm sick and tired of where I'm at right now. I'm thankful for where I've been, but I'm not satisfied with it. I am not satisfied with it. If I die and that's all I ever experienced, thank God for it, but I want more. I want more in my life. I want more in your lives. I want you to see how God is going to use you to save the lost, to bring them to him. We talked this morning about how great his love is, how far he's willing to go, that nothing that you have done causes him to not love you. He is earnestly pursuing you. Earnestly pursuing you. His love is gigantic. I just can't get over how powerful his love is. It is amazing. It is the greatest force in the universe, God's love. It's everything. See, when we have demonstrations of spirit and power, when God comes and moves, when it's motivated out of love, that's when things really take place. You can miracles, signs, wonders, healings, prophecies, all that stuff. If it's not motivated by love, it burns and nothing about it amounts to anything. But when it is motivated by love, my Lord, what he does. It puts his kingdom on display. You see, God is love. And when his kingdom is on display, those acts of power are acts of love. A kingdom carries with it the nature of its king. When you experience that kingdom, whatever spirit is in that kingdom, you're experiencing the spirit of the king, the ruler that is over that kingdom. Because to the extent that his kingdom reaches is to the extent of his power. And God is love. Our Father is love. So when we experience his kingdom, we experience the nature of our king. When Jesus was sending out his disciples and he would tell them, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, he told them, when you see these things, tell people the kingdom has come near you. That is his kingdom. His works. And we're called to that stuff. You see, God's intention has always been to rule and to reign through the influence of his sons in the earth. Sons who love him because he first loved them. We love him because he is love. When he gave you free will, you get to choose to love him. He already loves you. That never changes. But you get to choose to love him. If he made you love him, then you would be a robot. That doesn't prove that he is love. That doesn't prove that he is good. We love him because he loves us and he is good. And when we surrender our lives to him, for him to use, that's the greatest thing we can do. So you can't do anything for God that he could already do. The greatest gift you can give to God is laying down your life and your right to rule your own life, to allow him to rule and govern your life. Because when you do that, then he's standing where you're standing, and he is moving where you are. It's not about what would Jesus do, and let me think about from my mind what God might do in this thing. What is he doing through me? I don't have to think about what he's going to do. He's telling me what he's going to do, and then he does it. See, each of you are made uniquely. I feel like I tell you this every time, but I think it's really important to tell you and keep telling you. You are made uniquely. He didn't make a mistake when he made you. Because you don't look like the person next to you, and because you don't act like the person next to you, is a good thing. Regardless of what everybody's ever told you, what you're bad at and what you're good at and all this stuff, and oh man, you're not really good at doing this thing, but I am, you know. That's great that you are, but you kind of stink over here, and I'm pretty good at that. God made us individually because he knew before time began where he was going to send you, and he knew what you were going to do. You don't know where you're going tomorrow. You might think you do. But all the little interactions that you're going to have tomorrow, he knew before time began. And he has lined up all sorts of stuff to happen. That when you're in the game with him, the lights come on. And it is just incredible what he'll do. Because he fashioned you carefully, thoughtfully. He designed you to accomplish specific things in your life. But it requires active participation on our part. So you can go through this life. You can get saved. Your destiny is confirmed. But you can keep yourself from participating in the adventures and the activities that he has planned for you. That doesn't change your destination. But it does change the impact that he makes through you while you're here. Remember how Jesus said, whoever tries to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it? Laying down your life, laying down the authority to govern your own life is what he's talking about there. Lose your life and you will find it. Your true life is found in him, and it's found in what he's going to be doing through you. Not about activity of your soul, but activity of his spirit in you. Now, in order for the activity of that spirit to come through you, you have to become equipped. Not just equipped, but empowered. Because he's the one who does the work through you. And God will do work through someone who is surrendered to him. It's where things work most efficiently. If you're surrendered to him, he'll move through you. When you're out of the way, he'll move right through. And you're along for the ride. So how does he accomplish these tasks? Have you ever heard of the gifts of the Spirit? They're listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretations of tongues. These are the gifts that the Spirit gives to us to enable the types of things that he's wanting to do. These are the weapons of our warfare. Why do you need them? Well, first of all, your enemy is not flesh and blood. He's not flesh and blood at all. He can work through flesh and blood. But that's not where the source of those issues comes from. It's spirit. And he gives you these gifts to accomplish the tasks that are before you on your mission. And you have to be equipped accordingly. See, the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. Remember I told you, before time began, he knew what you're going to be facing? Do you think he might know what you need to be equipped with to face that task? See, he delegated the Holy Spirit here on earth to equip us, to train us, to comfort us, to to be God in the earth. The Holy Spirit knows what you've been designed for. That's why your gifts look different than somebody else's gifts, even if they fall under the same heading. It's going to be different through you than it's going to be through them. As I was preparing this, I was reminded of, once again, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Because that is a fantastic allegory, and there's some really fun stuff in there. One of the things that came to mind was when Father Christmas showed up. And Father Christmas gave them gifts, didn't he? And the gifts didn't make sense to them other than they looked really cool at the time, right? Lucy gets that vial of the healing juice. One drop can heal all sorts of people. And it sits in this little thing around her neck. Susan gets her horn. When she blows the horn, help comes. She also gets her bow and arrow, right? And Lucy got a dagger too, right? Yeah, they're all given something with teeth in it. You notice that? There's warfare that's going on. And remember, Peter gets his sword and his shield. And the sword on the hilt has the lion's head on it. And they think, this is just cool stuff, right? Just cool stuff, but it's functional. They don't know what adventures they're about to go on, but each one of those things has a purpose, and it is used in the battle and in the adventures that happen. Interestingly, each one of those things is tailored to them. Something about it represents the nature that's in them. You know, High King Peter, who's a kid, has this kingly thing. Everything about that sword and the shield speaks royalty, because he's about to carry the mantle of a king. He just doesn't know it yet. Lucy, who's a prophetess, I mean, come on, it's written all over her. She's got all this stuff that's helping people. You know, and she just kind of dances around and people get healed as she's going, right? She's a free spirit. She's the one who just captures Aslan's heart. She's in love with him. And Susan, clearly able to direct attack at a very specific target. She can hit anything with that bow and arrow. But she can also call for help. It's amazing stuff. It's amazing stuff. What an allegory. God's love is going to be put on display through you because you are his son. Gender nonspecific, you are his son, and he placed you in this earth, and he gave you gifts so that you could demonstrate his kingdom to those that are around you. You build up the body, but you also stand there in darkness and shine. But what do you need to have the gifts of the Spirit? You need the Spirit, right? You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was resurrected and came back and met with those in the upper room, remember, he breathed on them? He breathes on them. John 20, 21 through 23. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you." He'd said that, and then they got scared, and then he tells them again, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." So there's the commission, right? And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." He gave us the ministry of reconciliation right there, the commissioned. And he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. This is likened unto when you get saved, when your spirit is one with your Father and you say, "Abba," and you have that witness in your spirit. He breathed on them life. But that's not when they got power. So there's a difference. They didn't receive power until Pentecost. He told them to wait. Are you familiar with the two terms authority and power? They're linked, but they're not the same thing. There's a very specific distinction between them. Sam Solon likes to say it like this: it's the badge and the gun, right? Authority is the right to do a thing. Power is the ability to do the thing. If you're familiar with our political process here in the United States, you'll recognize that there is a difference between the authorization of a bill and the appropriation for the bill. You can pass a bill. It takes forever to pass a bill. You can pass a bill up there. It says, we want a new bridge down here at Solomon's, right? Fantastic. You've got the go-ahead for a new bridge at Solomon's. And this is how much money we're going to put into that bill. So it's already cleared for that project to take place, but there is no juice for that thing to happen. And nothing, not even plans, nothing, is hopes and dreams until there's money appropriated to that bill. That's the way things work around here in this country. It's important to know. So without appropriation, that bill has no teeth in it. It can accomplish nothing in and of itself. You see, when we come to Jesus, we get our badge. When you get saved, you get your badge. And if you stop there, you're like the deputy that hasn't got his gun yet. You think you're the sheriff, or mall cop thinking he's the sheriff, right? Kicking down doors, ready to punch bad guys in the face and take them all on, but he's got nothing there. Not recognizing yet that he is up against an entrenched, equipped, and experienced enemy. You go take on the enemy on your own, you're about to get a whooping. Now, the good news is we have greater firepower available to us. So forward into the next book, we get into Acts, right? And right before Jesus goes up into heaven, in being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And the power is what gives them the fuel to go do what he told them to do back in John and in the other Gospels. He had commissioned them, and he says, wait here because I'm going to empower you to do the things that you have seen me do and that you've done with me. The same Spirit that's been on me is going to be in you. But wait here for it. When it shows up, when he, the Holy Spirit, shows up, that's when all sorts of stuff breaks loose. All heaven breaks loose there in Judea, and everybody's there. They're speaking in tongues, and people are hearing their own language. And thousands come to the Lord that day. That didn't happen prior to that moment. So there's a difference there. You see, I think it's more than the badge and the gun. It's the badge, it's not just the gun. You're not individually in this battle. You're part of what God is doing in this battle. See, he leads the attack. It's his plan we participate in, not ours. He provides recon, intel, airstrikes, overwhelming firepower, training, field hospitals, endless resources, and assured victory. You're not just going out there with the pea shooter on your own trying to figure out what to do. You're joining his campaign. And he is on the offensive. It's not an individual effort. When you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it changes your life because you have power to do what he's called you to do then. If you've lived below this experience, I'm telling you, it's like nothing else. Don't stay camped out where you are, because he's called you to more. He's destined you for more. It's awesome. It isn't scary. Some people see people get baptized in the Holy Spirit and they get scared by what they see. It isn't scary. And everybody's experience is unique. This is not a cookie-cutter thing. You're not a cookie-cutter people. He tailored this experience for you. And if you haven't experienced it yet, it's waiting for you. No man can do it for you except Jesus. Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. You might speak in tongues, you might not. You might speak in tongues, you might not. Don't let anybody strong-arm you into speaking in tongues. It is a demonstration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there are others. You may prophesy. You may magnify God. I tell you what, you'll notice a change in your life because it's a real thing. You can feel him physically on you. He'll change stuff, but I'm going to tell you, it is tailored to you. See, God's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. If you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. He knows what you need, and he's tailored that experience for you. I'm going to talk to you about pivotal moments in the Spirit. I'm going to share from my own experience. There are days in your life that you will never forget. There are days in your life in God that you will never forget. If you've been saved, you know the day you were saved. You know when that changed in you. If you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know when that happened. It's a significant event in your life. There are days where he just alters the course of your history because you said yes. And sometimes you walked into it not knowing that day that you're going to say yes. Today is one of those days for somebody, or somebody's here. Okay? God's been stirring things up, and he's been preparing this day for you. I don't know who you are, but he knows who you are. And he's calling you. As I'm talking to you right now, if you're feeling a quickening in your spirit, your heart might be beating a little bit fast right now. Okay? I'm going to keep talking. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We ask you to keep falling on them right now. Quicken that spirit, Lord. Draw them to you, Lord. I became a Christian when I was about 7 years old. It wasn't long after that my dad said, "You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." And I remember him carrying me around our living room, holding me as he was praying for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remember tongues coming out of me. I remember feeling nervous because I could almost feel it in my throat. And I was just holding it back. I don't know what this is. And he's just, I remember him very lovingly, "Just let it out. Just let it out. It's okay. Let it out." And it did. And I still remember that. I was Jack's age when that happened. I'm so thankful that he did that with me. I was in the arms of my father receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's my experience. Not everybody's going to have that experience. But that was my experience. Now, through my life, my young life, I saw God minister. I remember when 1994, who remembers 1994? If you remember it, it just, stuff was happening. God was doing things. I think I was about, I was 12 when all that was going on. And I remember God just hammering me at that point in my life, just really drawing me to him, wooing me to him. I remember getting slain in the Spirit. And, you know, that there was amazing stuff that was happening in that time. And as I went through high school and into college, you know, life beats you up in there. You're moody, you know. I remember walking away from the Lord, especially by the time I got to college. I was just, just walked away. Not that I never talked to God, but I wasn't doing the things I was supposed to be doing. Has anybody else ever been there? Okay, that's where I was in college. I come back from college, visit my family, go to church, very spirit-filled church in Oakland, California, Shiloh Christian Fellowship, amazing place. I'd go there with them, go there with Katie, we were dating at the time, and I felt like I was going through the motions. I knew who God was, I knew he was real, all that. I knew we had a relationship, but I also knew I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. So come 2003, the year before we got married, it was summer, Randy Clark Ministries came through our church. Does anybody here know who Randy Clark is? Randy Clark is a minister who goes all over the world, and he brings lay people with him, and miraculous stuff happens. So he came to our church, and he was doing like a three-day series on stuff. And I heard this first message and him talking about the things that God was doing through people that weren't him. He'll just tell you, some of those amazing miracles that happen don't happen through my hands. It's the lifeguard or the guy who runs the counter at McDonald's or this or that or the other thing. And it just completely blew me away. I'd always been in church and I'd seen the big names come through. I'd even seen people ministering in our body, the well-respected people, and God was using them and moving through them. But me? Maybe something. But the idea that God would put himself on display through just your average Christian just totally blew me away. I mean, it makes sense, right? But it just blew me away in that moment. Anyway, the first meeting happened, and I just walked out of thinking, why am I not experiencing this in my life? And remember, there's going to be an evening service. It was on Saturday. And Katie and my dad and I were at a family party on Saturday, and we were talking about everything that was going on. And just so you know, I come from a very large Italian family, and family parties are sacrosanct. You don't go anywhere but the family party when the family party's happening. It's wonderful. It keeps the family together. But we're all looking at how are we going to get out of this thing so we can go back to church. That's the first time in my life I was looking to get out of something so I could go to church. And I remember we were sitting there by the swimming pool, and we all looked at each other, and we said, you want to go? Let's go. We're just going to go do this. And so my dad helped Katie and I ditch the party, and we hop in the car, and we beeline it out to Oakland to go to this meeting. And God shows up powerfully. And it was the first time that I had experienced someone say, thing's not working right. I can give you an impartation of the gift that has been given to me. I can freely give that to you because it's been freely given to me, and God is going to take that and he's going to use you in ways that I can't be used, but he's going to take a portion of what's on me and extend that to you. Wow. And so he'd been telling all these stories and God was showing up. So I remember him standing up and saying, if you want this, stand up and I'm going to pray over you. And there's a bunch of us that stood up. And I don't really remember what happened after that. But I know that I received an impartation of that gift in that situation. And that is a day that I remember now very clearly as a turning point in my life. Because I know that after that, I knew I was rededicating my life to the Lord. I was resurrendering myself to his purposes, and God was going to do things, and he has. And it didn't all just happen immediately. What changed was my heart toward him. What grew over time was the enabling of that gifting. Not just that one, but other things. But I know specifically something was passed in that situation. You see, God wants to use you. If he could use J.J. Patterson from Benicia, California, who didn't really have much expectancy that he was going to do way above what I could ever have thought, he can use you. He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He loves you, and he loves the world that is around you, and he wants to demonstrate his love through you. I have three invitations today, because we're going to pray. If you want any of this, you have to first of all get in the game. You need your badge. I hope what you've heard today, if you're not saved yet, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I hope what you've heard today is that their Father, because he's your Father in heaven, he made you as his son. You've been living in darkness. You didn't have a choice in that. You're born into it. Somebody made that choice way up the family tree. Okay? You're born into it. But he sent his son to die for you, to restore you to him, so that you could live in relationship with the Father like Jesus lives in relationship with the Father. See, he shows the way. He's the only way. So it's not all roads lead to Rome here. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. You see, other religions in this world, not all of them, but several, people will sacrifice their children to appease the God, right? To get connection with the God. Our God sacrificed his child so he could pursue you. He sacrificed his son for you. It's the only faith in the entire world that works that way. Because the enemy, he sees everything backwards from what God does, right? Our Father sacrificed his son for you, and then he raised him back to life in power. That same power that raised him from the dead can live inside of you. If you want that today, if you're sick and tired of being where you're at, you can't earn salvation. It's given freely. Just come and freely receive it. God's not mad at you. He loves you. He loves you. The darkest depths that you're in, he loves you. There's nothing you did to earn this. He gives it to you freely. And he's been pursuing you a long time. He's been pursuing you since before you were born. That's offering number one. Offering number two, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Get that appropriation. Get that bill appropriated. Let the Holy Spirit come and enter your life, baptize you with power to do the things that he's called you to do. If you've been in Christ a long time, and you've recognized that you're at a power deficit, here he is offering you today to fill you with his Spirit, to give you that power, to do what he's called you to do. If you're just coming to him today, there's no reason he can't do the two things at one time. It's a two-for-one deal today. Come in, get baptized, start fresh right there. And then we get to number three. You've been through one and two, but you're recognizing that power deficit. You know where you've been, and you're not there right now. I'm talking to you today, and you're recognizing, I'm not living that power-filled life that God has called me to. He's here to fill you afresh today. A fresh outpouring of his Spirit. If you identify with any of those, I'd like you to stand and please come forward at this time. Come on forward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to pray first for salvation. If you're here for salvation this morning, and even if you're not here for salvation this morning, let's pray together. Just say after me, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of running. I know you paid the price for me. I know God raised you from the dead. And the only way to the Father is through you. Come, Lord, and live in my life. Be my King. Let every day from here forward that you be the Lord of my life. I give up.